Good morning and welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are glad that you are here. We hope you are glad that you are here. If it's to worship God, if it's to meet a friend, if it's to come to a place that didn't lose its power and the lights are still on. Anyone lose its power this weekend, this week? No one? We ought to put that on our website. You know, come to West Valley Presbyterian Church. You will not lose your power.
Please pray with me. Father God, please do still our souls. There is so much going on that we just need to claim the rest and to find the hope and to trust and just to that know that you do not ever let us go. And Lord, we are so quick to judge, so impatient, so busy, too busy to listen. Just, Lord, we do ask that, and we confess that we can't do it without you. And Lord, we ask that you come and just be with us and to help us know that you are God. Lord, we ask today that we pray for the leaders of our country, the leaders of our states and local governments. Lord, we just ask that you give them wisdom. You ask them to think twice before they speak, that they really do look for wisdom towards you. Lord, we also ask that as we are seeking new direction, that you come and fill us with your spirit and that you just are present in all that we are trying to do. We ask that you come into the lives of the sick and those who are struggling, those who are needing work, those who are having financial difficulties, that you make your presence known to them, that you are their comfort. Lord, we ask that you be with the families of Steve Wetlison and the Chapmans and also of Helen Wen, who have all gone on to be with you. And Lord, that you comfort their families in their loss. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we are able to come together and worship you. We ask that as we give our tithes and offerings in the next few minutes, that you would use those and bless those and help us to serve the community with those gifts. And Lord, as we conclude this time of prayer, we ask that you come together with us as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This weekend was a first for me. I have lived in the Bay Area for over 10 years, and I have never been into San Francisco for Fleet Week. And what happened was I wanted to take my sweetie to miniature golf. And there's a new miniature golf place in the Mission District, down the Mission Bay section of San Francisco. And as you well know, that area is getting redeveloped. The Chase Center, where the Warriors are going to play, just got finished there. And there, it's a hipster paradise, is what it is. I was definitely on the old side, if you followed my meaning. But there was really fun stuff. And so we took the ferry from Alameda, and it was a gorgeous day. And then we took this really long walk to the Mission Bay area, played miniature golf, and at the end of the playing miniature golf, we were hungry, and there was this really fun kind of a permanent installation of food trucks. And they had tents with the National League Division Series going on, and lots of different food trucks. And so we got some, but by that time it was getting late. And right outside this installation of food trucks, they had some of those new electric scooters. And so it had been a long walk there. Wasn't sure I wanted to make the long walk back. And we're looking at those electric scooters, and we've never done that before. I've never been on an electric scooter before. And again, like I say, I'm approaching 50 years old. These are not the things that I typically do with my life anymore. These are things for, this is a young person's game, getting on electric scooters. But it's getting so amazingly easy to try new things, right? All I have to do is pull out my app, you know, get my phone and pull out an app and press the, you know, take a picture of the QR code and log on, and all of a sudden the scooter unlocks and the lights come on and it's like, okay, we climb on, and so it's me and my friend Aaron and slowly just sort of taking, you know, like just zzz, zzz, zzz. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, like, what's the worst that can happen? Right? Now, we all know what the right answer to that question is. You die. The right thing, the worst thing that could happen is I could totally run out into traffic with this thing, lose control of it. But in fact, it was completely manageable. Nobody died. And from the Mission Bay area back to the ferry building to pick up the ferry to go home, we had the most fun. And we're going along, and we're going at just the right speed. Walking is nice, but this is just a little faster. And we're just kind of slowly coasting along, going past all the groups of folks. It's Fleet Week, so there's lots of Navy personnel, lots of Marine personnel walking around. So we're kind of slowly weaving our way through the groups of people, having a wonderful time, going underneath the Bay Bridge, and the light show along the Bay Bridge was like the best I've ever seen it. And we coast the layer and land right as the ferry is getting ready to leave. And so we get stand in line and get right on the ferry. It was amazing. And Aaron looks at me and she says, I would never have done that if you hadn't been here. By myself, I wouldn't have taken that chance. And I thought to myself, that feels very much like this amazing Jesus story. Peter, in essence, could say to Jesus in the story that I'm going to share this morning, I never would have done this if you weren't here. I never would have experienced this unprecedented thing if you hadn't been here. That's what it's like when Jesus comes into our lives. Jesus is inviting us into the unprecedented. And that is why I love this story, this Jesus story. Because there's a problem. There's always a problem. There's always some challenge. For Aaron and me, it was we didn't want to take that long walk back. The opportunity to solve this problem, to do this unprecedented thing, to get on these electric scooters and put our life into our own hands. And at the end of it, to have this question that still lingers with us. Like, what would have kept us from doing that sooner? Why haven't I come out to Fleet Week sooner? Why haven't I tried these things out sooner? What keeps me from wanting to try this more? There's a beautiful problem, a great invitation, and then a great question to walk away from. That, to me, makes a great story. And all those elements are present in our story this morning. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, here's what we hear. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Let us say, thanks be to God. Let's say, thanks be to God, like we actually mean it. See, something's going on with this room, and I don't quite understand it. Why do I look better over here? The right side of the room, like, is this my good side? Because I haven't figured it out yet. And if this is my good side, then I should remember that for future reference. I don't know. It's like, is the sanctuary sort of tilted? Because people just seem to slide over to this side for some reason. I've been trying to figure that out. So we have a great problem, a great invitation, and then a great question. The great Jesus stories always have this. They all have a great problem, they have a great invitation, and they have a great follow-up question that we walk away with to keep thinking about. So what's the great problem here? The great problem here is wind and waves. We've seen Jesus have to confront wind and waves before, where he just says a word and it calms down. This is a different story and a different situation. But in this narrative, it's as though we sense that Jesus has been up to something. He sends them on ahead of him so that he can be alone with the Lord, so he can be in prayer, so he can continue to have be anchored in his identity as the Son by being alone and experiencing contemplative prayer with the Father. That goes on for as long as it needs to. As it happens, that turns out to be into the middle of the night. And so by the time Jesus has completed his time of sweet communion and presence with the Father, he decides to go and join his friends who are already way out in the middle of the water, struggling in the wind and the waves. And Jesus is walking out there alongside them, out on the water. So what happens? Immediately the question comes. Is that really you, Jesus? This must be a ghost, and let's freak out about it. We're always asking the question, aren't we? In the middle of the mess that is our life, in the middle of the everyday hard thing that we have to deal with, if you ride around in boats, you're going to have to deal with wind and waves, right? If you live in Silicon Valley, you're going to have to deal with traffic and stressful work conditions. If you're going to be a parent, you're going to have to deal with crazy kids who want to make your tear your hair out. Whatever it is, in the normal activity of everyday life, we're going to hit some hard stuff. And we ask ourselves the question, is Jesus really present in this? Is God really here? And that's what Peter encounters. In the midst of this mess, the question is that really you, Lord? Lord, are you really present? And the answer comes back, yes, it's me. Don't panic. If you don't take anything else away from this gospel message, it's that. In the midst of your everyday life, and you're asking yourself the question, is the Lord here? Hear the Lord say, yes, I'm here. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. But what I love about this story is Peter. I love Peter in this story because I can so relate to Peter. Peter has a problem with impulse control. Peter is a don't look before you leap kind of guy, and I can really relate to that. I love the way that Peter is so in the moment, is so oblivious to everything else when he encounters his Lord, his best friend, the person who's at the center of his heart, the one that he admires the most, the one that he wants to be most like. The one he has committed himself to emulate. He says, I want to be just like my rabbi. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to do whatever. If Jesus is doing it, I want to do it. If Jesus is there, I want to be there. If Jesus is up to that, that's what I want to be up to. You following me? I almost think that three of you are tracking with the story I'm telling you right now. I can see three of you really dialed in right now. I'm giving you my very best work here, people. You picking up when I'm laying down? Jesus, out in the wind and the waves. Peter picks up on that and says, if you're out there, I want to come too. Whatever you're up to, I want to be up to that. If it's really you, Jesus, tell me, call me to come out and join you there. And Jesus says, yeah, come on. Come on out, the water's fine. Come on out, the water's fine. Why is the water fine? Because I'm not in it. I'm not in the water, right? And so Peter steps out and begins to walk out. And he's out there, and what does the story say? The story says, when he began to notice the wind and the waves, it's like all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? What am I doing out here in the middle of this? What am I doing on this scooter? Why did I decide this was a good idea, right? What, there's always that moment once you've sort of committed to this experience, once you've committed to the relationship with the Lord, that you begin to go, what have I just said? What have I committed myself to? And Peter, out in the wind and the waves, starts to notice the circumstances again. Takes his eyes off of Jesus. Starts to be really aware, like, wait a minute. I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And the moment he moves out of that, he begins to sink. I picked out the picture specially for you on the front of the bulletin this week. It's an original painting by a woman in a church up in the Bay Area, up in East Bay where I live. She painted that picture that I desperately wish to steal from my friend Art Barrett. He's the pastor of the church in Concord that I love to worship at sometimes. Anyway, one of his congregants painted that picture. And that picture was inspired by the Jesus, one of the recent TV series about Jesus, in which one of the shots in the film is of Peter looking up as he's sinking, looking up through the water, and Jesus's face being obscured a bit by the water, and Jesus reaching down and picking him up and pulling up. That's what that picture is intended to represent. I know it looks like cosmic Jesus. I know it looks like space Jesus, but it's actually Jesus looking through the water and reaching out to pull Peter up. So there's that image, right? So the question is, what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is Peter drowns. But in fact, that's not the worst thing that can happen, is it? Because Jesus is there. You're not going to drown. Jesus isn't going to let him drown. We think that. We get ourselves convinced. There's no way I'm stepping out of the boat. There's no way I'm going to go to where Jesus is because I could die. No, you can't. I'm here. The Lord is here. You're not going to die. You're just going to get wet. You'll dry off. It'll be all right. You're a fisherman, for heaven's sakes. You've been wet before. You'll be wet again. It'll be all right. And he pulls him up. So the big problem, is this really you, Jesus? Let's find out. Gets out of the boat, goes to Jesus, starts to sink, gets pulled up. Brought up. Now they're both back in the boat. Now they're in the boat together. And then the big question. The big question. You've heard this question 1,000 times if you've grown up in church. This is the part where I tell you that you blow it when you don't have enough faith. Jesus says, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And this is the part where I start to chastise you and make you feel guilty for not having more faith in Jesus, right? No. No. That is not the point of the story. The point of the story is to let us sit with that question, just like Peter does. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And it becomes like a Rorschach test for us. It becomes a way in which we take our own cultural lens and we put it on the story. And our cultural lens is, Peter, you're a screw up. That's what we hear, right? You didn't have enough faith. If you had just tried harder, if you had just believed more. And if that is not the gospel, that's just not the gospel. The gospel, we like to teach it that way because it keeps everybody feeling guilty and like they're not good enough. But that's not how Jesus operates. Jesus honors the effort. Jesus honors the willingness to meet him out there. What if the question he's asking isn't about faith in Jesus, but faith in himself? I know, this is kind of scary stuff. What if he's saying, why did you doubt yourself? This is not name it and claim it theology, my friends. This isn't if you just believe hard enough in yourself, then you can walk on water. No, no, no. It's all anchored in the relationship with Jesus. But the question he wants to ask is, why did you doubt that you really could live into something unprecedented? Why did you doubt that you could enter into something that you've never done before? Live in greater love. Live in greater freedom. Live in greater hope. Live with greater courage than you ever thought you could before. Why did you doubt that? I was out there with you the whole time, Jesus says. That's the question I want to leave with you. Oh, me of little faith. Why do I doubt that life could actually be different tomorrow than it was yesterday? Why do I doubt that God actually could bring transformation to my life, to my relationships, to my church, to my nation, to my world? Why do I doubt that? Why do I doubt that all the big problems I see out in the world that feel absolutely impossible, absolutely beyond any kind of way to transform, why do I doubt that God can't bring the transformation? And why do I doubt that I can't be a part of it? Why do I doubt that? Why do you doubt that? Why do we doubt that? What keeps us here? What's the worst that can happen, right? And so I have to ask myself again, am I willing to risk getting wet again? Am I willing to risk going further out than I thought I could? Am I willing to risk being out someplace where I am no longer in control and that my capacity to be out in there has everything to do with Jesus and not a whole lot to do with me? Am I willing to risk that? Are we willing to risk that? To go into the unprecedented? That's the big question to me. And that, friends, brings us to the question of discipleship. Why am I sharing favorite Jesus stories? Why am I inviting you to think about your favorite Jesus story? Because what I've discovered is that the more I think about this as my favorite Jesus story, the more I realize what it says about me as a disciple, and the more it says about who I offer myself as to someone else as a disciple. I am the kind of disciple who, like Peter, will, if I think Jesus is in something, I will totally say yes to it against all common sense, against all good reason. I will say yes to it. And oh my gosh, the number of times people at my church back at Walnut Creek have looked at me and said, why did you say yes to that? Why? Didn't you think that through? I'm like, no, it was the right thing to do. And then it makes a mess. And then I got to clean up the mess. You can't invite that person to lead that ministry. Why not? Because they don't know enough about it to do that. So? And then everybody just kind of looks at me and just rolls their eyes. Oh my gosh, she's so naive. There's something really naive about Peter, isn't there, that just says, I'm willing to get out on the boat. If you're there, I'll be there. I've just gotten more and more convinced in my life that life doesn't work for me if I keep it in control. But life starts to get really exciting when I just go to where Jesus is. That's me as a disciple. That's why I love this story. I can really relate to Peter in this story. And I'm really aware that there's something deep in me that says to anybody else, if the way I'm going to disciple you, that is the way I'm going to love you, the way I want to model Jesus to you, the way I want to teach you about Jesus, the way I want to invite you into relationship with Jesus yourself, the way I'm going to do that over and over again is, you want to try? Well, come on. You've never done this before? That's okay. Is it possible you'll fail? Probably. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, maybe we'll mess up. Maybe it won't go perfect. Maybe it won't be just right. Maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe we don't have it all figured out. You've never prayed before? Let's try right now. Instead of listening to me talk to you about prayer for 3 or 4 months, Why don't we just start trying to pray right now? You've never read the Bible before. That's okay. Can you read English? Okay, then let's read it. Let's just see what happens. You've never shared your faith with somebody before? Great. This will be fun. You've never forgiven this person after all the ways in which they've wronged you? Wouldn't today be a great day to try that out? You've never tried to tithe before. You've never tried to regularly give in generosity. Okay, boy, this will be a big growing experience for you, won't it? You following me? This is just, you're going to hang out with me. You're going to hang out with a guy kind of like Peter who just says the best thing for us to do, if we're going to figure it out, we're going to figure it out by just going out there and trying it. That's me. Now, that's the part where you all kind of not think to yourselves, I never want that guy discipling me. I don't want any part of that. But maybe a couple of you think, you know what? I will take a chance and I will read his crazy book called The Universal Christ, and I will come to that book study, and I will just see how that turns out. Great. I'll look forward to seeing you there. And others of you, not so much. I'm going to go find somebody else to disciple me. That's cool too. There are other great Jesus stories, aren't there? What's your favorite Jesus story? What does it say about you as a disciple? And what does it say about you as a discipler? That's what I want us to explore for the balance of our time together on Sundays here in October. Did you learn anything? Did you learn anything about Jesus? How Jesus just shows up in the midst of real life, the mess of it, and says, I'm right here. Don't be afraid. Did you learn something about yourself? How maybe you're at this moment, you're thinking, I have been that person who's always wanted to get out of the boat. But I'm not like Peter. I'm like all the other guys who are like, that's crazy. Don't do it. I'll wait till you get back into the boat before I worship you. Once you're in the boat, then I'll worship you. Or maybe you actually can identify much more with all the people when Jesus got to the other side and when they heard that Jesus was there, they're the people who are like, now we'll come. Now that we're all safely on dry land, we'll come. But we trust you enough that if we can just touch the hem of your robe, you'll heal us. You're in this story somewhere. Amen? Amen. We're in this story somewhere. The question is, what's the worst that can happen? That's the question I leave with you this week. Ask yourself, as you see your life, and Jesus showing up in it, telling you not to be surprised. I hope that somewhere along the way this week, the Holy Spirit will say to you, what's the worst that can happen this week? What's the worst that can happen if I follow Jesus into this? And then come back and tell us about it next week, okay? You can testify. Let's pray. Loving Lord, thank you for the amazing story. I got to tell it in the way that it makes sense to me. But now that we've heard it all together, Holy Spirit, you're going to help it make sense to each of us in a way that makes sense to us. You're going to help us understand it. We ask now, Lord, as we continue to reflect personally and corporately about our favorite Jesus stories, that through this work, Lord, we would see you doing greater things and join you in them with greater courage and hope. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, friends, receive the benediction. In the name of the one who meets us in the midst of the wind and the waves. In the name of the one who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. In the name of the one who burns within us as the indwelling Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, grace and peace be with us all, now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.